grandma. Anybody else ever have a grandma? Okay, cool. I had a grandma. Her name was Toni. And she was the go-to whenever I was sick or school had a holiday or it was the third grade and I didn't go. That's a whole nother story, but I missed like more than a month of third grade at one point, and I got to spend some great time with my grandma, but I still don't know how to do percentages, so it's kind of a balance out. But I had this grandma, Toni, and Toni was a kid of the Depression. She saw a lot of difficult things in her life, and every time I would come over, there were always these rituals, just like you have at your grandma's house, except there was one that was, it happened every time. It was a little weird. She would always, at some point, we would be cooking or doing something fun. And then she'd say, now, Brian, when I go, just remember that there's a key to the garage right here in this mug. Or when I go, make sure that this lock gets undone. When I go, there's going to be all, and she'd always tell me about when she goes, which is awesome to hear when you're 8 from your grandma, you know? The parents would pick you up and they'd say, what did you do? Oh, we watched some shows and made Peschetti and talked about grandma's inevitable death, you know, just normal kid stuff. It was always the same, when I go. And it kind of freaked me out as a kid, as you would imagine that it would. But I will say this, when she passed, I knew how to go through her house and find all of the things that she asked me to find. You see, in a way, she was preparing me for all of these things to make sure that everything was taken care of. Now, granted, my responsibility was to make sure that we could open up the garage in order to find her supply of old wool, stuff like that. I mean, it wasn't like she showed me where the cougar ends were hidden or anything like that. But I knew my way around her house, and she prepared me for when she goes. I am wearing so I always kind of imagine getting a bunch of old clothes and accessories from the grand folks, you know, that just when your grandpa is 5'7", 150 pounds, and I'm this, that doesn't really happen. I'm wearing my one accessory that I got. This is my grandpa's professional sales manager ring from Buick. So I have and actually it's not even real initials. It says PSM for professional sales manager on it. But this is his big ostentatious Buick. If I hold this up and the guy that has the Ford one and the guy that has the Chevy one up, and we all hold them up, the spirit of Lee Iacocca appears. So I don't even know who that joke was for. You have to know Captain Planet and Lee Iacocca. It's almost too heavy to wear, by the way. But anyway, she always prepared me. And when I go. And it got me thinking this week, as I was thinking a lot about her, that, you know, we do so much on the topic of evangelism in our church, which is amazing. I think we've all kind of gotten to the point where we know, like, this isn't just for us. You know, if you think I'm here, but let's keep it a secret, well, you're doing it wrong. I think we're a church that gets it. We go out into our community and we share Jesus. And I make us say that thing because everything has to be liturgical because we're Anglicans, that it's normal Christian behavior. We have a call and response every week when we do that. That's awesome. And I think we've gotten really good at that kind of horizontal plane evangelism, you know, the people all around us in our reach. And that's fantastic. But I started to think this week about how important that let's call it vertical evangelism is too. You know, if you're looking at the family tree, the lines that go down. And this has been on my heart so much this last year as I've been looking at my own family tree and discovering that a couple centuries ago we had a line of pastors, one in every generation, for 5 straight generations. And I didn't know that, and I didn't know these people's names, but to know that we have that legacy of faith that's passed down from generation to generation means the world to me. And I'm not just talking about our own children or our children's children or anything like that, because we are a family. We take that so seriously here, that we are a family in Jesus. I heard it so much at the Thanksgiving service. That was so much fun to hear all of your Thanksgivings. But we're a family. And that means whether you have your children here or you don't have children at all, You are passing on a legacy. And I love that. And I can point to people here. And I know their family's history because they've shared it with me. Ed, I know your dad was so good at making sure that you put at least a penny of your 10-cent allowance in the pot every month or every time you got your allowance. Don, I know a sermon that you heard when you were a kid. You can't keep a good man down. He shared that with me, and that's a sermon he heard when he was younger, and he's passing that down. And this is an amazing thing that we can pass these things on. And it's kind of my thought that we as a church, as we're growing, as we're getting younger kids, we know that we have a responsibility to pass on what has been passed down and passed on to us, just like it says to do in Scripture. We want to teach these things, and we want these things to continue on. And that's why I think about Grandma Tony and the when I go. Because what is it that we say, what do we want the next generations to know when we go? And it's so interesting because I feel like our gospel touches on the same thing. Jesus is doing this big block of teaching just before he goes to the cross. And it almost kind of has that sense of, well, then I want to say when I go, but maybe when I'm gone. While I'm not here, remember these things. We've talked so much about famous last words before. And consider these Jesus' famous last words that he's passing on to his disciples. You know, I am going to the Father. And so now it's your responsibility, your blessing, your joy to pass on this good news to the world. Michelle and Baby read that great reading today. Baby wasn't that responsible for this one, but Michelle, you read. You know, it was amazing because Isaiah says this thing that to Jews in Jesus' age was almost anathema. That Gentiles, people of all nations, would come to this Israel. And how does that happen? Except through the witness and the teaching and the when I goes of the people who love Jesus. These people will be taught through what we give. We are passing on a legacy of what Jesus is passing on today in the Scripture. Remember, we're in this big, long season of Jesus kind of sharing what happens at the end times. The disciples want some kind of sign that it's coming. And Jesus talks about the wars and rumors of war and the sky going dark and all of these different things. But wait, that's not it. And many people will come and say, I'm Jesus, look at me. But wait, it's not time. And Jesus continues to talk in this way and pass down all of these things that might absolutely terrify us if he didn't prepare us ahead of time for them. And finally, we get to this reading today, in this first Sunday of Advent, where we deal with this, with his return. Remember, Advent is not just that first, but that second coming too. And so Jesus prepares our hearts for it. But I guess if I had to pick one line in that entire thing, the watchword for us is just that. Watch. Look up. If you see these things happening, and when the time is coming, look up. Look to the sky, because Jesus is coming. This is Jesus' when I'm gone message. While I'm gone, this is what's going to happen. But prepare, watch, look up. I mean, he even alludes to, you know, this idea of a burglar coming in the night. If you're not prepared, you could miss it. And I think so much all these times about, you know, if all this stuff is about the gospel of love and all of this, where's the love in all of that? Well, it's right there. Jesus prepares our hearts. And I have to tell you, I spent a lot of my childhood absolutely terrified, maybe because people like Grandma Tony told me she was going to die soon. But I spent a lot of my time terrified about things of death, things of the second coming and all of these things. There was a commercial that would run when I was getting ready for school, and there'd be these horsemen and fog, and it terrified me. But when you consider what it truly means to know Jesus, to be saved by Jesus, and to love Jesus, I can't even wait for his return. I'm dying to see him. because of what he's done for us. I thought it was really interesting that the Thanksgiving readings, it was Jesus sharing the passage about don't be afraid, don't be worried, don't be overly devoted to thinking about these things of what you're going to wear, what you're going to say, what you're going to eat. These things, and the word was dominate, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. These things are dominant. They lord over unbelievers to think about what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear every day. Isn't it amazing that Jesus multiple times provides these incredible meals so that we don't have to provide for them? Isn't it incredible when you look at the passage from Romans today that following that scripture about don't worry about what you're going to wear, Paul talks about take off these dirty clothes that you're wearing and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of my favorite scriptures. That you robe yourself, you wrap yourself in Jesus. I think about that so many times, what it would mean if I woke up in the morning and I looked in the mirror and I put on my Jesus suit. I'm wearing Jesus, and when I leave the house, people see Jesus. How would that change my demeanor, my behavior? How would that change the way people react to me? But moreover, how I would share love. Because I'm not representing myself anymore. I'm representing Jesus Christ. And now I think about that passage from this Thursday, or Wednesday night, I guess, where we say, don't worry about what you're going to wear. And why is it that we don't need to worry? Because we are invited to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess that would be my thought. That if I could pass on one thing, it's that. If I could pass on to my kids and the generations in this church, if I could pass on what Advent is all about, if I could pass on what all of this is all about, when I'm gone, remember that it's all taken care of for us. We don't have to worry about what to wear because we are enrobed, wrapped in the glory of Jesus Christ, not because of what we've done, but because what he has done. Isn't it absolutely astounding that the God of the universe, who created everything by speaking it into existence, who controls the thunder and the waves and these incredible things that go on, who knows the plan from beginning to end, who arrives in the clouds in glory, also enrobes us with his grace and his mercy. And we are allowed to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Advent message. As we await his coming, we are enrobed in him, and it's all taken care of. It's all taken care of. So rejoice, flock. Rejoice, family. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ today. I invite you in Advent to experiment with this, to remember this, to pray for a reminder that you are enrobed in Jesus Christ. As you walk through town, as you worship him, as you go to Walmart to put the cards on the table, geeky, awesome job. You are enrobed in the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of what you have done, but because of what he has done for you. That's the message of Advent. And that one is coming for us. And family, when we put our trust in him, everything is taken care of. Isn't that an incredible legacy to pass on? To know deep in our hearts. And to share as that Christmas gift for those to come. It's all taken care of.